Go ahead.
Hello, this is the Pressure Podcast with my daddy.
Welcome to the Press Row Podcast, the definitive sports video game show brought to you by Hit the Pass. I'm your host, Richard Grisham. Hey, everybody. Rich Grisham here. Thank you, as always, for listening to the Press Row Podcast. As the year 2015 draws to a close, there is no better time than now to take a look at this year's crop of racing games. We talk with two of our favorite Hit the Pass contributors, Greg Seward and Dr. Ken Parker. Greg from Canada is a longtime racing game enthusiast, and Dr. Ken from Australia as well. Two guys who really know what they're talking about when it comes to racing games. So I talk with them both separately. Obviously, one to be in Australia and one to be in Canada. It's tough to get them together all the time at the same time. And we just have a lot of fun talking about this year's games. So thank you very much for listening. I hope you're having a great kickoff to the holiday season. And thanks, as always, for listening to the Press Row Podcast. All right. Well, hey, everybody. Thank you, as always, for listening to the Press Row Podcast. This week, we are talking about the year 2015 racing games in review. And it is, you know, always, I invent reasons to talk to Greg Seward of the Player One Podcast and Generation 16. And so at least, you know, a couple times a year, there's always racing game stuff to talk about. So I invented this show specifically to have him on once again. Welcome back, Mr. Greg Seward. How are you, sir?
I have the plague, but I'm happy to be here.
Are you sure it's not plaque?
There's probably a little of that, too. I'm not going to lie.
So, as I mentioned, Greg is a mainstay of the best show on the internet, the Player One Podcast. He is also a voluminous producer of content all about the Sega Genesis over at Generation-16. Make sure you go check out all of the great stuff that that Greg does. Greg, how does it feel to be now like the official encyclopedia of Sega? I mean, is that what you set out to do? Because that's pretty much what's happened.
I maybe I am that. I don't know. It would feel better if somebody wanted to pay me for that, to give me that job title and pay me salary for it.
Don't be crazy. Nobody pays anybody on the internet anymore. You
That's
know that.
True. No, it's great. I love it. I love, I was actually just playing some stuff tonight for a video I'm going to be participating in for another channel. And it was actually a few things on the Genesis that I'd never played before. So it was pretty cool.
All right. So, as I mentioned, Greg is a huge racing fan. If you are a fan of this show and its predecessors, I've had Greg on many times. Quick background, his uncle was a professional racer. Greg comes from a racing family. Greg has long enjoyed racing video games. So I'm gonna throw a hypothesis at you, Greg, and I want you to tell me whether I'm right or I'm wrong, okay?
Sure.
2015 was a renaissance for the racing game genre. True or false?
Yeah, I mean, there were some major, definitely some major titles that came out this year that I kind of was expecting to happen last year. So, yeah, in that way it is. You know, the latest round of consoles didn't really launch with great support as far as racing games went. Forza 5 was kind of it, and it was pretty lackluster. So this year was definitely a return to form.
So a lot of games. You got F1, you got Forza, you got Need for Speed, you got Project Cars, right? Those are sort of the big automobile racing games. Then you got Drive Club Bikes, and you got Ride, a couple motorcycle games. Like that's a pretty healthy selection of games. I mean, you know, that's, you know, I count six, you know, major titles. That to me feels meatier than we've had for the last few years, and I know I'm missing a couple in there as well.
Yeah, it definitely was, and that's what I was talking about. You know, we kind of were expecting Drive Club last year, at least I think it came out this year, and with Forza 6 is definitely a return to form for Turn 10. I mean, that was the Forza game we should have had at the Xbox One launch. And of course, F1 finally came back, Codemasters F1 series. It didn't come out the first year of the new systems, and it was quite good as well. Also want to point out too, though, not to forget, one of the greatest racing games of all time was re-released this year on the 3DS, which was Outrun.
I went and got Outrun, strictly mm-hmm. because, you know, you and the Player One podcast have been saying for so long how great it was. Now, I never really played Outrun back in the arcade. This is a pure arcade port, right? I mean, basically, is that what this is?
It was an arcade port, but they actually added to it. It was another one of those ports done by M2, which, if you've been following those updates that Sega's been doing, they take the original game, they add 3D to it, which is always good. And I mean, with Outrun, it's extra effective just because it's a racing game. It's a 3D game anyway. But then they added a bunch to it. They added a bunch of different sort of power-ups that you could actually, it's kind of cool. You could actually turn them on and off while you were racing. So you could get like a super grip, you could get higher speed, you could get, I think you could turn off collisions, that sort of thing. So it's sort of the arcade game plus, which is what all of those ports are like, the Genesis games as well. They're sort of the Genesis game plus, you know, a few little tidbits here and there.
You know, it's funny. I was playing the game. You know, we were driving to my wife's family on Thanksgiving, and I was sitting in the back seat. Well, make my wife drive, of course. I mean, you know, that's what you're supposed to
do. Good
man. Yeah, exactly. So I'm sitting in the back seat with my son. We're both playing different things because, of course, that's what a 40-plus-year-old man does. Plays on his 3DS on the way to Thanksgiving dinner. And he's playing Outrun. And at one point, my son leans over. He's watching. He's like, oh, what's that? And I'm like, oh, it's Outrun. And then, of course, I crash. And the people fly out of the car and land on the ground. I was like, oh, I forgot about that. That's kind of a little morbid, huh?
Yeah, they were all right, though.
They were all right, yes. But, it wasn't quite what I was expecting, which, you know, shame on me for not remembering that. But it was just like, it was a funny moment. For
sure. Did you tell your son that game is over 30 years old?
No, I didn't, because I was too busy. Just like, all right, let me focus on this, because that's the kind of game where I struggled a little bit with it, and you know, because it's not a game I played in a while. I also didn't really quite understand the format either. You know, like, I didn't quite realize what was going on. I just knew I had to beat the time, and if I beat the time, I would get extended time, but then I could go left or I could go right, and I don't know what's happening. If I go left, is it harder or easier? Like,
so I'm starting to understand why you let your wife do the driving. But there are all these other roads. Where do I go?
I don't know what to do.
What do I do?
My GPS isn't working. My GPS isn't working! But it's a lot of fun, and I think I got it on sale for like $3. I mean, talk about.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I mean, and even at full price, you couldn't go wrong. I mean, that's just my opinion, but it's one of my favorite games ever, racing game or otherwise. It's, it's great to have basically an arcade-perfect copy that I can play whenever I want.
So let's talk about the big guys first, right? I mean, I'm going to go out on a limb. And I could be wrong, actually, because as you'll hear later in the show from Dr. Ken, there was quite a debate about this. But I'm going to go out on a limb and say that Forza 6 was your favorite racing game of the year. Do I have that right? Or would it have been actually F1 2016 or 2015, whichever one it's called?
It was a pretty easy choice for that. Forza 6 is definitely my racing game of the year. It's one of my favorite games of the year, period. I mean, I really enjoyed F1 2015, which I was on a show with you and Dr. Ken previously, where we gushed about that game, and all of that still, all of that still applies. But Forza 6 is just, like I said, you almost just wish 5 didn't exist, because 5 was such a letdown in so many ways, especially from a content standpoint, and 6 just has so much more going for it. Of course, you still get to leverage all of the huge painting community, which is nice to be able to, you know, get tons of different liveries for your cars. But it's got a much more focused campaign mode, and it's not constantly like with Forza 5. When you're in a campaign mode, you kind of would enter a racing class and then it would randomly throw tracks at you. And since there were so few tracks, you would just keep doing the same courses over and over and over again. It was just infuriating. With this one, where they've got way more content in there now, you don't have that kind of track fatigue that you had in the previous game. And of course, you know, it still controls great. It's always been a great controlling game. It's gorgeous. It's one of the best looking games out there this year. And the online modes are quite nice as well. And I've actually had a chance to explore that a little more because we've been running a league over at the Player One podcast forums. And
yeah, by the way, could you not do that at 8 o'clock at night on a Wednesday Eastern? Because that's like right in the heart of when I can't ever race. And every couple of weeks, Jesse sends me a tweet or a note. It's like, hey, we're racing at 8 o'clock. I'm like, come on, man. Can't you move it back a couple hours? Because I want
to
be in that.
I think you need to rearrange your kid's bedtime. You got to want it, Rich. You got to want it.
That's true.
But no, it's, you know, we've had the chance kind of to explore the online options, and it's really robust what you can do, all the different elements you can turn on and off. And it's, you know, there's a few things that we would like to see differently, like being able to save profiles and that sort of thing. But all in all, I mean, just a fantastic package. I had high hopes for 6, and it totally exceeded my expectations on every level. So it feels like the best apology ever for Forza 5.
So I have a very easy time explaining at a high level what I like about Forza 6, right? I mean, I like I like how it's so easy to make your car better, right? It's not you know, as just somebody who likes video games, it's easy to get into a car and upgrade the engine and upgrade the transmission and upgrade the tires and stuff, right? You know, and you can see very easily, you know, when you say, oh, if I want to spend money on this, what are the improvements going to be? Boom, it's great. You know, so that's awesome. There's a tremendous selection of cars. You know, that's great, even if you're not a car guy. And I'm not a car guy, right? It's cool to be like, ooh, I'll maybe go for a Ferrari. Nah, I'll do a Lamborghini. Nah, I'll take this cool Honda or whatever. That's awesome. You know, you mentioned the different paints, you know, that you can get. I'm weird. Like, I don't like the custom paint. I like to go pick and choose from the various actual manufacturer, mm-hmm. you know, just colors. Like, that's me. I don't know why I don't like those crazy you know, get-ups, but they're all over the place, and it's really cool, and a lot of people like that. The story mode, you know, how you sort of advance through it, I enjoy that. It's really obvious why that's cool. I like the how it'll pop you out of the regular mode, you know, just when you get sort of, okay, I've driven like 3 or 4 races in a row with this car, then boom, all of a sudden you're in some kind of a cool challenge where you're just thrown to a wildly different car, typically very powerful on a track you've never been before. Like, there's all sorts of cool stuff. You know, there's your rivals and always sort of understanding where you are. But that's easy to explain why it's so good. I have an impossibly difficult time explaining to people why the actual racing is so good. What is it about the actual racing that is so great in Forza 6 that I can't explain, but I know you can?
Well, that's putting me on the spot. It's the control. I've always enjoyed it. I mean, I find that, you know, I will say when you get into the really high power cars, it can get a little rough. I will admit, the game gets twitchy, but I just feel like you can really hang it all out in those cars if you want to, and you can bring it back under control. And there's just something about the way they've done that. It's not a super simulation. Like, I could see someone who's looking for a really hardcore simulation not being happy with the physics of Forza 6, and that's totally fair. Me personally, I'm looking for sort of that balance between simulation and arcade rules, basically. And I feel like Forza gets that absolutely right. One of the other things that I think that game does so brilliantly is, you know, I don't want to buy into the Drivatar system. I mean, I guess there's something to that, but it's what they call their AI, obviously, even though they'll say the game doesn't have any artificial intelligence. When you tweak the settings in there, like, I've got mine jumped up to expert now, which the game will tell you, by the way. Like, I've been playing on pro or whatever the one below expert is, and the game sort of finally notify me, say, like, look, you've won like every race you've run in the past X number of times.
Yeah.
We suggest pumping it up to expert mode, which I did.
You know, and I'm in the same sort of mode. Like, now I think I'm pro, and I pretty much win all the races now. So, but I've never been in that situation before. Mm-hmm. So I don't want to bump it up, because for the first time ever in a real simulation racing game, I'm able to win. I'm like, I like that.
No, but there's something to be said for that. But I personally, like I've said on this show before, I would much rather run 10 laps and fight for second than get out front on the first lap and just, you know, turn off a bunch of laps in the lead, which it's just, to me, that's not fun. And I just find that the balance for the AI in that game, it's just beautiful. I did an endurance race recently where I ran something like, I don't know, some ungodly number of laps. It was over an hour long, the race.
Yeah, where do those pop up? Because I haven't
gotten
those.
They're in showcase events.
Okay.
You've definitely got a couple of them unlocked.
That sounds scary to me.
See, I love that stuff. But see, at the end of it, even then, I was fighting for the win. I wasn't just, you know, I mean, and we were lapping some cars, and there was just a lot to love about it. The other thing that I want to point out that I really like about that game is they've got the standing starts just right. If you watch any real motor racing, especially F1 or open wheel in general, obviously the most crucial point of the race is actually that first turn, because you have standing starts, which means everyone's on top of one another and you're all going into this first turn together. And you're really not only are you navigating the track, but you're doing your best not to, you know, smash through or into other cars. And I don't know what they've done with Forza 6. They're the same with Forza 5, but it feels right. It feels really nail-biting for that first turn, but it feels great at the same time. Like, it's what I want from a racing game. So I don't know if I can put it any more clearly than that, but just the on-track action in that game, you can tell they've been refining it for 6 or 7 titles, and it really shows.
So, and again, this may be me sort of projecting my thoughts on something, but I would tell anybody that enjoys video games that they would enjoy Forza 6. It is a great racing game, but I think it is a great video game. I don't think I would say the same thing about F1. Not that it's not a great racing game, but I think F1 2015 appeals to racing game fans, but I don't know that it would be something that would translate to a regular old video game fan. Do you agree with that?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you know, you buy and play F1 because you like F1 racing or you like F1 games. With Forza, you buy it because you just like video games. You like racing games. I mean, you get a taste of F1 in there. You get a taste of IndyCar. You get a taste of V8 supercars. I mean, you know, you're not going to, if you're looking for a really robust F1 game, you're not going to get that out of Forza 6. But that's all you're going to get with F1 2015. So, you know, it all depends on what you're looking for. And you're right. I mean, you mentioned it before. The beauty of the Forza games has always been, at least in the past 3 or 4 iterations, that you don't need to be a gearhead to enjoy it. The games have always been super friendly as far as, you know, settings and everything like that. If you want to go in and change your settings right down to, like, the spring rate and all that sort of thing, you can do that. But you don't have to, and you'll still get a great experience out of it.
So you love F1 2015. What is it that really works for you and speaks to you? And what do you think it's, you know, needs in the next iteration to make it better?
What really works for me is the Codemasters F1 games. Near the end on the previous generation of consoles, they've gotten... The handling had gotten a little bit wonky, especially if you touch the curbs, which, I mean, I'm not an F1 driver, but, you know, that seems like you want to use the curbs on the track. But it was just the cars had gotten so twitchy that if you touch them, you would end up spinning. And I just wasn't really enjoying it. 2015, they did away with that. They really dialed that down. Maybe, you know, it could be argued that they dialed it down too much. But it's, again, you get into that situation where you can just sort of jump in. Excuse me, and just have a good time right from the start. And they added a lot of different race weekend configurations, which is nice, because if you follow F1, like, one of the ways that they work is you have a bunch of free practice sessions, and then you have a 3-round elimination system for qualifying, which is awesome when you're watching it on the weekend. But when you're sitting down to play and you want to qualify, it's not necessarily the best way to go. It just takes a long time, and you just want to get into the race. So, you know, you can configure all that stuff to sort of cater to how much time you have and how much you really want to invest into it. But then outside of that, I mean, they just cleaned it up a lot. And, I mean, it looks great. It's missing a lot of features, yes, but again, in a previous conversation we had there, Dr. Ken pointed out, you know, yeah, did you really use those features though? Like the career mode and that sort of thing, building yourself up, which I love the idea of, but he was right. I'd never actually finished that in a previous game. That being said, one of the things I think they need to add in the upcoming iteration is to make sure that you can at least have stats that carry over from season to season, because it would be nice to sort of get back to that situation where you started a lower team and build yourself up to a higher team. One of the things that I think they got really right in this game as well is that it actually the team you were on did matter. Sorry, I know my voice sounds there. Did matter is what I'm trying to say. If you jumped into a McLaren, it was tough to get mid-pack. But if you jumped into a Mercedes, you were gone after the first turn. You really only had to compete with your teammate and nobody else. So it's nice to have that level of authenticity. It was also really nice of them to include the 2014 season, where they had skipped that season on the new consoles and had only released basically a reskin for 2014 on the old consoles. So it was nice to have access to both, because you have access to a few different cars, a few different tracks. So it was just a nice package overall.
You know, and I asked this to Dr. Ken a little later in today's show, but I find it interesting that you have these two, you know, two of the biggest racing games of the year, one being so broad and one being so narrow, right? I mean, in Forza, you can race dozens of different types of vehicles, right? From, you know, hatchbacks to American hot rod classics to Japanese, you know, fine-tuned cars to supercars. Whereas in F1, you're racing F1 cars only. I just find it interesting that it's almost like, you know, you can play a track and field game where all you get to run is a 100-yard dash, or you can play the entire Olympics. Like, it's strange, but is that, can the market support that? And is that sort of a, you know, is that a model you think that we'll continue to see? Can F1 keep on going just being the F1 game when there are much, you know, at least relatively speaking, broader experiences with different kinds of cars?
I think it can. I mean, again, you're talking kind of about two different audiences. You know, I play F1 because I'm an F1 fan, and I'm not looking for different car experiences in there so much as I'm looking for all the different tracks and the experiences that those will give me. I mean, it's a totally different beast, racing Circuit of the Americas, and then you go, say, to Monaco. You know, I mean, they are different experiences, even though you're in the same car. So that's what I'm looking for. It's the same thing with a NASCAR game. I mean, you're not looking, you know, for a bunch of cars that handle differently. You're looking to go to all the different tracks and competing in a full season mode. I mean, conversely, you look at something like Forza, you know, you have a bunch of different tracks and that's great. You have a bunch of different cars and that's great, but you don't really have that investment either where, you know, it's like, okay, in this series that you're entering, there are five races. And really, as long as you finish in the top three in every race, you're fine. You can switch cars in between each one. You know, that's great if you're looking for that experience. But, you know, when I play F1, I'm looking to fight for a championship. That's what I get out of those games. I think they can carry on. And you're right, the focus was really narrow. The other thing is, too, you have to remember, we've talked about this a lot before, F1 2015 was the first F1 game Codemasters released on the current crop of consoles, which we all know sports games, the first one on a new console is always lacking.
Yep.
But I mean, I liked that Codemasters seemed smart enough to strip away the extraneous bits and pieces and focus on making a good game first and hopefully build everything back up again. Because I find that we've seen EA for years and years do the opposite, throw a million features at it and not fix anything that was broken. So, you know, it's nice to see them take that tack. I hope that they, now that they've got a good solid base, I hope that they build on it for the next couple of years while these consoles are still viable.
Did you play Need for Speed?
I did not, although I heard the latest update fixed a whole lot of problems with that game.
It's a good game. It's a good game, Greg Stewart.
Been burned so many times by that series.
Right, but you're a longtime fan of the series, right?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I'm the guy who spent $1,000 on a 3DO so that I could play Need for Speed.
That makes sense. I mean, I'm totally that completely justifiable. 100%.
Yeah, totally.
You'll hear me gush about it a little later on in the show, but I remain steadfastly a fan of that game. I was not expecting to be a fan. I did not expect to enjoy it. I did not like Need for Speed Rivals. I do not have a long history with the Need for Speed series, although I played a bunch of the games.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what about this game is, man, but it's just fun. Well, that's what it is. It's just fun, right? It's silly. It's different. Yeah. It's just fun.
They've been searching, right? I mean, they had a great series going there, and I think they really hit the peak with Hot Pursuit 2 on the PlayStation 2.
Mm.
It's still one of my favorite racing games ever. And they just kind of seem to have not captured that lightning in a bottle again, and they've branched out so much, which I like the different developers doing games, and they've had a few high points, like Shift. The first Shift game, as an example, was fantastic, but way too many low points, too. It's honestly, it's turned into Sonic the Hedgehog of racing games.
Do you have EA Access?
I don't.
Can you get it in Canada?
I believe so.
And you don't have EA Access?
No.
What is wrong with you, Greg? So you have an Xbox One. EA Access is like the best value in video games.
I don't know, man.
You could spend $40 right now and play Need for Speed for 10 hours, along with, you know, every other EA game that's on the Xbox One. I'm shocked that you don't have EA Access. I'll bet you the minute you get it, you'll be like, why didn't I have this before? You play 10 hours of Battlefront, which, by the way, is the way that I discovered I like that game, as an aside as well.
Really? Interesting. Yep.
Highly recommended to get EA Access. I mean, because you get every game you get all the games in the vault, which is like the last couple of NHLs and Maddens and FIFAs. You get to play 10 hours of every game before it comes out. And even now, like if you bought EA Access today, you can play 10 hours of Need for Speed, 10 hours of Battlefront, 10 hours of whatever the new games are as well. You know, plus like Dragon Age or whatever the Crimson. Never mind. There's sort of a dragon-y game in there. A whole bunch of good stuff.
Drake.
All right. Enough commercials for EA Access. You know what I also found interesting, Greg Stewart?
Mm-hmm.
I enjoy Ride. Like,
you're a strange, strange man, Rich Grisham.
You know, like, Tourist Trophy to this day gives me nightmares. Because, as we discussed, I had to review that game for an outlet long since closed and shuttered. So I don't have to really worry about, you know, that coming up anywhere. But, like, I couldn't even get out of the qualifying, like, you know, just here's how to drive a motorcycle, you know, in the Gran Turismo way that they need to qualify or earn your license or whatever.
Yeah.
Tourist Trophy. Ride is a very technical game, a motorcycle racing game. But I sort of embrace the fact that, okay, this isn't Forza, where, you know, I can pretty much, you know, come in first, second, and third after a couple of tries at the most, right? Ride is very much like, okay, here's a bike series, here's a race. You're going to have to race two or three times just to sort of, you know, learn the track and come in 15th or 12th, get a few credits, then you improve your bike a little bit, and then you'll come in like 5th or 6th after another race or two, and then you'll improve your bike a little bit more, and then you'll come in like second or third, and then you'll move on to the next race in the five race series and stuff. Ride, actually, if you sort of understand what it's trying to do, there's a lot going on that's good in Ride. There's a ton of content, like just a shocking amount of different races and different bikes. Not every race is a race against other motorcycles. A lot of them are, but, you know, there's a few time trials that get plopped in there, as well as a couple like sort of head for head. You're just going up against one other person. It's a much more interesting experience to me than I thought it would be. I know you played the demo. What did you think about the demo? Oh, by the way, technically speaking, like it's not the best looking game. You know, it's got a, you know, a little bit of issues. You know, when there's a lot of bikes on the screen, it struggles a little bit. But I mean, you know, it's not like so bad that you're like, oh my God, what is this thing? What did you think about the demo that you played of Ride?
Yeah, it didn't convince me to buy it. But I'm kind of with you. I mean, ever since, for me, it's the Moto GP games. I remember being very excited about the Moto GP games when they first started coming out.
They looked really good.
Fantastic. And, you know, what I learned really quickly from those games is I have no idea how to drive a motorcycle.
Exactly.
I just, it's a completely different skill set from anything else to do with racing. It's just, you know, none of the skills from a four-wheel racing game translate in my mind. You know, like the lines are strange. The braking is strange. I just can't get it. So when I played Ride, you know, it didn't dazzle me from a visual standpoint, or even from a really technical standpoint in general. And when you combine that with, wow, I'm just terrible at motorcycles, playing with motorcycles, it just didn't do anything for me. Every few years I'll get into a mode where it's like, you know what, I'm gonna get a bike racing game because it's different, and I love racing games.
And this time I'm gonna like it.
I'm gonna like it, and I get that twinge every time because the MotoGP series is still going.
It's not
nearly as big as it once was.
Yeah,
but you know, I'll see it on like a PlayStation store. It's like, oh man, I should. No, I'm not. So yeah, Ride didn't do much for me. Now, having said that, I went to Paris Games Week this year, and I got to check out Drive Club bikes.
Mm-hmm.
And I liked what I played. And I'm guessing because it's dumbed down to the point that somebody like me can actually play it. I think what it is more than anything else is if you bounce off walls in that game, you don't fall off your bike. And that really is what I need.
Yeah, you do fall off your bike if you bounce off a wall in Ride.
Right, which is obviously more realistic.
But there's a rewind button, which is a godsend.
Yeah.
Right. And I know the rewind button is very controversial. I don't use it in Forza for whatever reason. I'm like, you know, I'm too good in Forza.
The same. Yeah.
Like, I don't use it, but I use it in Ride. And that is, I feel completely fine about that because you fall off your bike in Ride one of two ways. You take a corner too low and you fall off, or you brush up against a wall and you fall. You don't seem to fall off when you crash into other bikers. They just sort of bounce off each other, which is sort of weird. But I like that, right? I'm not saying it's a problem. I actually like that. But Ride being much more of a technical game, you know, again, it's like I had to sort of teach myself to learn. Like, okay, no, the first couple of times you race on this track, you know, in this bike that you haven't done anything to, you're going to come in last or second to last, but that's okay. You're just sort of learning where the key parts of the course are so that, okay, now you earn 1,200 credits. Now, okay, I'm going to make my engine better and I'm going to make my chain better and I'm going to, you know, improve my braking a little better. And oh my gosh, now I can actually come in fifth or sixth. I didn't magically get better at the game in the last 10 minutes, but I have a better bike and I've been around the track a couple of times. Oh, and I crashed, you know, but I hit the rewind button and now I'm okay. And then all of a sudden, if you do that for like 20 minutes, 25 minutes, then you're going to come in second or third. Like, it's a different way to approach it. And it sounds like Drive Club Bikes is much less of that and much more of, these are really cool bikes. Drive Club is a beautiful game. Get out there and have some fun. Sounds like that's the vibe.
It absolutely is. And I mean, I'm not a huge fan of Drive Club. I tried it out, didn't really like it. But when I found out that I could get bikes for $15 because I owned Drive Club, I jumped on it. So I have been playing that. But it's kind of two different approaches, like what you're saying. With Drive Club bikes, I can not be very good at it and still have some success. What you're describing, where you upgrade your bike, is great. Although I think you're selling yourself a little bit short, because you definitely are getting better at the game. I mean, that's a good, that's normally the progression that I like. I would rather come in 10th and then 5th and then 4th and then, you know, but I just find bike racing games in general to be extremely frustrating. Now with Drive Club bikes, I don't feel that way, but it's because it's so forgiving, for somebody like me who just goes head on into a turn and doesn't really, you know, which is weird because Drive Club is actually so unforgiving generally.
Yes, yes. That's why I didn't like it. It was
exactly.
Too
I mean,
difficult for me. And again, I
wanted too much from you.
Oh, it really did. And I don't, is Forza just easier than Drive Club, or did I just give Forza more time? I can't figure it out because I tried Drive Club and maybe it's just the botched launch, you know, a year and a half ago that just soured it for me. I mean, that's, I was really, for whatever, I don't get angry at anything anymore. Now that I'm old, like, I'm like, you know, it's video games. Like, I'm not going to get mad about video games. But for whatever reason, I just was really soured on Drive Club. And maybe that had something to do with it. I don't know, but
I don't think Forza is necessarily easier or harder, depending on how you set it up. I think it has more to do with that it's much more user-friendly. It's easier to get into. Because, I mean, you know, with Drive Club, you know, it's like we're not going to let you have suggested lines. We're not going to tell you where the breaking points are for anything. Now go out and win
a
race.
Right. You we'll know, just have like, these flags waving in the air that are sort of giving you an idea. You might want to stop here.
Which is realistic. It's great. And if that's what you're looking for, awesome. But I'm not.
Me neither.
Maybe 20 years ago I was, but now I want to get through my games a little faster than that.
I do, though. I've talked about this with you, I think, on Player One. I do now only have the braking lines turned on in Forza 6. And again, I think that's a nice level of challenge. Like, it's still saying, okay, here's where you got to slow down and here's where a turn coming is. But I don't know. It also gives you a little bit more credits, which is great because I have hoarded a massive.
Oh, you're always flush with cash.
Massive amount of the economy in Forza 6 is great because I've always got tons of money. I got money just falling out of my pockets. It's awesome. Yeah. It's the exact opposite of my real life.
Because you buy too many video games.
Of course. I mean, you know, who doesn't, right?
Nice.
Anything else stand out to you in racing in 2015 we haven't touched on?
I'll tell you, there's a couple more things. One of the things I wanted to call out was actually the free update that we got for Forza Horizon 2 for the Fast and Furious.
Oh, it's so good. Gosh. Right. What a great way to jump back into my favorite game of 2014, which was Forza Horizon 2.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was amazing. And I mean, it was a ton of content for a free update. I think you could even get it even if you didn't own the game, if I'm not mistaken.
You got it free for like a couple, 2 or 3 weeks.
Yeah, and it was like a ridiculous amount of cars, and you got a big chunk of the world.
You got the whole game, the whole world.
Such a great taste.
Yeah, there's nothing in the world that was cut off. You got the whole world. You basically got the whole game, just a smaller version of the whole game. You had every type of competition. You had the entire map. Awesome.
Yeah, so there was that. And then one of the things actually just came out today when we're recording this, which I had to try out. It's actually a game released on the Wii U. Called Fast Racing Neo, which I suggest if you're a Wipeout fan or an F-Zero fan, definitely worth checking out. It's a hovercraft racing game. Not a very big file size for how amazing it looks, and it's all about maintaining boost, which is done via boost pads that are color coded, and you can switch the color of your vehicle at will. So if you're coming up against a blue boost pad, you want to switch your vehicle color to blue so that you can get a major speed boost. If you don't, then that pad will actually slow you down. It's very interesting, and I've only played about 2 races, so I don't want to, you know, I'm not sure I would highly recommend it yet, but for $20, pretty easy to jump in. So that's one of the ones that I've been looking forward to. It's getting rave reviews all over the internet. So definitely check that out. And I will also call out this year, to me, the biggest disappointment. And I was actually on the show saying I really enjoyed this game, but the more I played it, the more I lost interest. And that was Project Cars. I looked past a lot of the issues with that game because I saw a tiny bit of what I considered to be something great. But the more I played that game, the more I realized that something great was such a tiny percentage of what the game was. And I ended up finally just giving up on it, which is a shame because I think that Slightly Mad Studios does great work. But I think that they got in over their heads on that game.
It just handled terribly, right? Like it felt lousy. I mean, if there's one thing you got to get right in a racing game, it's the handling and the controls. And it just felt awful.
It did, and it didn't go away. I was waiting for it to click with me because they did Need for Speed Shift. I think that was their first game. And when I first played Shift, I didn't like it all that much either. And then something just clicked, and I fell in love with that game. Just absolutely adored it. My favorite Need for Speed game in years. And I was kind of waiting for that to happen with Project Cars, and it just never did.
Well, all right. The great Greg Stewart from the Player One podcast. I never miss an episode. And also from Generation 16. Thank you very much, sir. As always, I appreciate your contributions here, your contributions to Hit the Past, and everything that you do. Merry Christmas. Happy holidays. Happy New Year. Are the kids all excited about Christmas? I mean, you have, what, 9, 10 kids now, Greg?
Yeah, something like that. Legitimate and illegitimate.
I wasn't going to bring that second part up, but all right, you know, since you went there.
Yes, they're very excited. Yeah, cool. My 3-year-old won't leave the tree alone. I'm waiting for it to get pulled over.
Yeah, that'll happen. Real quick question, are any video game related presents for the kids?
I think there's a video game related present for me.
Nice.
Yeah, and my son is dying to tell me about it. He has to, my wife constantly has to shout him down when he tries to tell me.
So. Well, I will say this. So I mentioned my son and I were playing Star Wars Battlefront on the Xbox One through the 10-hour EA Access trial, and we got to the end of the trial, and he and I were both looking at each other like he doesn't really understand. Like now he gets it, but he had never heard of like a free 10-hour trial or anything like that. So we got to the end. He's like, "What do we do now?" I'm like,
go buy the game.
I guess, you know, might have to ask, you know, Santa for this for Christmas, you know, because,
nice.
You know, I can't be the dad who's just like, oh, yeah, just click the button, drop $60. You know what I mean? Like
yeah.
2.5 weeks before Christmas. I mean, let me rephrase it. I can be, I have been, and I will be again in the future, but at least I don't want to always be that dad. So, you know, here I am. I'm like, oh, man, you know, I really work because that's a fun game. Like, it's just
it is a ton of fun. Yeah.
So I'm like, all right, what am I going to do here? Right. Because and he loves to like we totally drew inspiration from watching you and your son do the stream of Battlefront. Like he loves to have the camera in the corner and be, you know, talking to people,
yeah.
Even though I don't ever like publicly do the live stream when it's him, because I don't want, you know, people jumping in doing comments and stuff. But he just, you know, he loves doing that. So I'm like, all right, well, I don't have the Kinect. So what do I do here? I don't want to wait till Christmas because like that was just, you know, that's like 3 weeks away. You know, I'm actually not traveling the next couple of weeks finally, so I'm going to be around. So I'm like, you know, your favorite thing in the world, the Elf on the Shelf,
mm-hmm.
decided that because he's been a good boy and Star Wars Battlefront wound up on his Christmas list because he couldn't play it anymore, that his Elf on the Shelf happened to bring him Star Wars Battlefront today.
That's
on the
awesome.
PlayStation 4.
Nice.
So
good
that's
work.
That's what we'll be doing a lot this weekend. I'm very happy. Yep. Very excited.
My kid loves that game.
It's a great game. And, you know, it's so funny. I know I'm keeping you long here, but I don't know if you saw the article about how the EA executive said the game was pretty much designed for, you know, an 8-year-old kid to play on the couch with his dad. There were a lot of people on the internet making fun of that. I'm like, why are you making fun of that? That is exactly.
Really?
Exactly what works for me and my son and for, I'm sure, thousands of kids and dads across the country and the world.
Man, people are too jaded.
They really are. It's video games.
It's great because as a dad, you know, my heart lies with the original trilogy, and mm-hmm. that's what this game is based on.
Yes, thank goodness.
My son being 6 years old, all he knows is the new trilogy and the cartoons,
mm-hmm.
but it's still all Star Wars, and he gets so excited about it. And it's just, I don't think we've played, I mean, we like the Lego games a lot too, but I don't think we've played a game where we both really enjoyed it as much as we both do.
This is the first one for me. And you mentioned it on the show. I tweeted to, you know, the Player One podcast a couple weeks ago. This is the first one where we both like very actively enjoyed the same game for the same reasons at the same time. And the co-op, the couch co-op is fantastic.
That was it right there. As soon as we realized that existed. And I mean, you know, it's, We're helping each other out while we play. I love it. It's co-op.
Yes.
It's actually co-op. And we don't even play the versus stuff because it's no fun that way.
Right.
So,
No, we play survival, a lot of survival, and I have to always take out the AT-STs because he doesn't like those guys. All right. Well, Mr. Seward, once again, thank you. Merry Christmas. Happy New Year. Thank you, as always, for being on the show. Appreciate it. And we'll talk to you again real soon.
Thank you very much for having me.
Well, all right, we are here with one of our expert racing gurus at Hit the Pass, Dr. Ken Parker. Dr. Ken, welcome back to the show. How are you, sir?
I'm doing all right, Rich. It's good to be here.
So I mentioned this earlier in the show. I'm going to mention it to you. I don't know if you agree with it. I think 2015 was a great year for racing game fans. Do you agree or disagree with that sentiment?
I think 2015 had some really good racing titles in it. I think that it was a step forward with a number of the titles, obviously, with Forza coming out with a genuine, I suppose, next game, with Forza 5 being such a disappointment for many. The rebooted Need for Speed has fans like yourself. But overall, yeah, I think that it's been a good year, and also some exciting newcomers like Project Cars, which, you know, the more games that you have on a console, the more likely it is going to be that there's going to be good ones. So, yeah.
So let's start with Project Cars. I played this, and I'm by no means a racing game fan like you or Greg Stewart or Pete Dott, but I do thoroughly enjoy racing games, and particularly have enjoyed a number of racing games on the current Xbox One/PS4 console, on the current generation of the console. Project Cars just didn't grab me. I'm not saying it was bad, right? It was quite good in a lot of ways. It was also quite different in the way that it was produced, you know, a lot of crowdsourcing and things like that. But it did not grab me. Did it grab you? And if so, why? And if not, why not, do you think?
That's a funny thing. I was actually thinking about Project Cars earlier today and thinking about what was on paper. So, you know, Project Cars had lots and lots of tracks, and also lots of tracks that we haven't seen a lot in racing games. There was the Beijing circuit, there was the Autodrome in Dubai, there were a number of German tracks that haven't appeared in games since the Toka World Championship Series. There was a breadth of types of cars. You had everything from go-karts to open-wheelers to prototypes, and what was really exciting, of course, is you had this full day-night cycle, and so you could actually set a race to start at 4 a.m. and race till, you know, 4 a.m. the next day if you wanted to, and see a full suite of lighting change associated with that. On paper, Project Cars sounds absolutely awesome. And even thinking about it this morning, I went, oh, maybe I should give it another go. But then I remembered how it actually felt to play, particularly on a controller. And the problem with Project Cars was that I just didn't find it fun. And I mean, I would have spent maybe 20, 25 hours with the game trying to find a setup in the controller that made it feel like you weren't driving on ice, that felt like, you know, you had some form of control over the cars. And I don't think it's a matter of it, you know, the game being too difficult per se, or you know, the caliber of the skill of myself or many other communities, because a lot of these cars simply didn't perform on a track the way you would expect when you were going the speed limit. You know, it you should be able to drive a Ford Focus at 50 kilometers an hour or 45 miles an hour on a straight line and not go spearing into the wall. And I never found that setup that actually made Project Cars fun, despite the fact that it had so many features that were very, very amicable and things you'd like to see in other games.
So you and I both picked it up. I mean, I picked it up, if not day of release, very close afterwards. Did you do it the same? And like, how long did you play it? Until you sort of made your mind up about it?
Yeah, I gave it about 2 months, and subsequent to me playing, I know they've had a lot of patches and they've added a lot of content. I mean, there's a lot of car packs that have come through, some paid, some unpaid. And it is one of those things that I'm tempted to pick it up again. I did the whole trade it in for some other games sort of thing, so it would involve buying the game again. But also with Project Cars 2 on the horizon, as it were, I probably will hold off to that. But you know, there were also some fundamental things with the career mode. It was certainly a PC game that was brought to console. A lot of those user interfaces were a little bit cumbersome. You know, flicking through with a controller, it would have been easier with a mouse and keyboard. But it was a great effort, and I really hope that Project Cars 2 looks at what it takes to make a game that's drivable on the consoles.
I think the thing that stuck out to me about Project Cars was it didn't feel like there was a particular narrative, and I don't mean narrative and story, just a particular, and again, I'm going to use a bad pun here, but nothing was driving me towards doing a certain kind of thing. You know, you didn't have the sort of traditional, you start off in a simple series and then you sort of learn how to race in the least powerful cars, and then you graduate to more and more, or, you know, what other games do is, you know, they make it tough at first, but you sort of grind it out and then you add, you know, power to your vehicles and you performance boost. It didn't have either of those. And I'm not necessarily saying that it should have, but again, for whatever reason, maybe it's just because I played so many of these games over the course of, you know, my life, just that non-traditional structure had me feeling like I didn't quite know what I was doing. You know, you never want your players to sort of not quite get what they're supposed to do. And that was my sense of Project Cars as well.
Yeah, I think the main career mode was presented to you as a calendar, and it would have a series of events that you could compete on in different days. And it was never clear to me exactly where I was relative to those particular championship series. So, you know, I might be doing an Ariel Atom series and I get invited to the Ford GT series or something like that. And it always felt like a complete disconnect between the reality of racing and, you know, the Gran Turismo Forza style of Pokemon, collect every car and everything like that. So, yeah, there was some basic sort of information that wasn't communicated to the player particularly well, but again, just the things that were great about Project Cars are things that I'd love to see them take forward from the for their sequel.
So before we move on to the next one, give me your 1 minute sort of, this is what was good about Project Cars and this is what was bad about Project Cars.
Oh, I think the best thing about Project Cars was its ambition. So diversity of tracks, the day night cycle. And the attempt at a different type of career mode, I think was really good. I mean, having all the cars available right off the gate, is fantastic. What I didn't like about it simply was with a controller, it just didn't race fun. I mean, it wasn't fun to drive those cars. And that's unfortunate.
So moving on to something that I did not play, but you have, and so did another Hit the Pass contributor, Greg Seward, who also thoroughly enjoyed it. It was F1 2015. Now, I'm not an F1 guy. I'm not really a NASCAR guy. I'm a racing game guy. But F1 2015 in North America is, F1 in and of itself in North America is pretty unknown, except for, you know, those, you know, niche fans, of which there are plenty. It used to be kind of like, you know, British Premier League soccer, but now that's much more popular in the States. But it's that kind of a thing. Like, people who are into F1 are into F1. But, you know, the vast majority of folks are not. Now, you're in Australia. Where is F1 in sort of the Australian sports culture? And how long have you just been an F1 fan yourself?
Yeah, I think, I mean, F1 is a pretty big deal here. Obviously, we have our own domestic racing series, which is the V8 Supercars, who you might be familiar with that, because they're in Forza or in other games like that. But F1 is pretty big in Australia. It's we've had a race in the calendar for many, many years now. Actually, even prior to having an official race in the calendar, back in the 50s and 60s, there was actually an Australian Grand Prix as part of the unofficial World Championship as well, and Australia has had a number of world champions, Jack Brabham and Alan Jones. So F1 is a pretty big deal in Australia, and certainly, you know, it is a sport that spans across from not just motorsports fans but sports fans in general. I think the F1 game itself is a small title relative to the, you know, the number of fans around F1 worldwide. But this particular edition of it, I think, really could be the best racing game of 2015. Now, I distinguish that from car game, but the actual on-track racing in F1 2015, I think, might be the best racing that I've played all year.
So that's a bold statement. What is it about it that makes you say that?
I think that the main thing about it is that just on track, the sense of speed and the AI opposition is so aggressive and so persistent, and but that combination of fair but always behind you really captures the essence of Formula One. The other thing the F1 does, for better or for worse, is that it very realistically models the performance of the actual cars. So this year in the real sport, Lewis Hamilton and Nico Rosberg, the two Mercedes drivers, were untouchable. And for better or for worse, in the F1 game, they have been completely replicated that. So basically, those two cars would shoot off into the lead and you wouldn't see them again if you're in just about any of the other cars. But the middle of the pack action in F1 was brilliantly fun. I mean, you would be wheel-to-wheel action. You'd be using your DRS to try and make up ground on the straightaways. It really captured the idea that you are going, you know, 200 miles an hour around these bends of these amazing circuits, and any mistake is going to throw you into the wall. But at the same time, you're driving a motor vehicle that is the absolute profession or perfection of motorsport, and you've got the tools to be able to complete those laps in amazing times.
So what is it about the F1 cars that is so different and makes it appealing on its own? You really don't see racing games focused on a single genre anymore. You know, we don't have NASCAR games anymore, or at least we don't have, you know, AAA NASCAR games. You know, the big time racing games cover every type of vehicle. Yeah, you know, like if you look at a Forza Gran Turismo, you know, there's, you know, little tiny Honda Civics all the way to, you know, Ferrari F40s and everything in between. So what is it about F1 that makes it, you know, from mechanically, you know, enjoyable to play over the course of a long time? And what is it about the game that makes it different, you know, when it comes to actually, you know, the racing and the controls and things like that?
Yeah, I suppose that the thing is that about the F1 car itself is that it's obviously the pinnacle of motorsport. They handle a little bit differently from other cars. Your ability to go around corners at great speed because of the associated downforce and the like, that they actually perform better at higher speeds than they do at lower speeds. But the structure of the actual F1 game is a little bit different. It's very much akin to the NASCAR games. But it's also akin to, say, a conventional sports game like Madden. You know, there actually is in a Forza or a GT, you certainly wouldn't bother doing qualifying. You just do race after race after race and collect all the cars. In F1, there is an emphasis on qualifying, on being able to get a decent position for the race, and then each race, of course, is that championship series. With pit stops and everything, so they're often the races are longer. So the amount of investment that you put in each race would be much more similar to a 16-game Madden season than kind of the three-lap, five-lap quick races that you would get in Gran Turismo or Forza.
Interesting. So as somebody who knows nothing about F1 racing, could somebody like me who likes a good racing game, could I really enjoy F1, or just like somebody who, you know, who picks up Madden, who doesn't really know anything about American football, would have a very hard time enjoying that game? You know, which side of the fence would you think somebody like me, who like literally knows nothing about F1 other than it's, you know, open wheel cars that go really fast, would I enjoy this game?
I think you could, because the thing about the F1 games and the F1 cars is that because they're so fast, I mean, they're cartoonishly fast, they almost become like it's almost like an arcade game. You know, it's almost like Wipeout. You don't actually have to worry about, you know, slow cornering speed because, you know, you won't have traction control problems the way you would in other games, because you just set the traction control on these cars are so good. I think there's a little bit of patience that's required, though, because to get the most out of these games, you actually have to set the races to be longer, because there's strategy involved in pits. You have to choose between having the prime tire, which is a slower tire but lasts longer, and the option tire, which is the better quality tire, but it degrades quicker, and you actually have to use both of those compounds during a race. So to get the enjoy the strategy of some of those things, it does involve more of a time investment. But F1 2015 also did have the benefit of being absolutely beautiful to look at. I mean, graphically, it was fantastic. The problem with the game, though, and the reason why its limitations and why many of the reviews were middling for the game was that as the first entry on the new consoles, it was very much content light. You could only play the 2014 and 2015 seasons, and at the end of the 2015 season, there was no option to go to the 2016. Effectively, it was over at that point. You could replay the 2015-16 season, but that was the end of the story.
Interesting. Okay. Yeah, that's, you know, the thing about that is, it, why wouldn't they just sort of let you loop through the same set of tracks year after year? Like, what, I mean, typically, again, this comes from a place of ignorance. I mean, I would think the F1 schedule year after year is pretty much the same thing, right? They might switch a race here or switch a race there, but wouldn't it be kind of the same thing?
Yeah, and that was particularly disappointing because in previous years they would allow you to create a driver. So I actually had like a my player mode where you'd create a driver and you would start with one of the back market teams and they would set objectives. And halfway through the year, one of the middle teams might say, "Hey, we want to boot our driver and move you into that." And then at the end of the season, you might get a call from Ferrari or McLaren. And so there was that kind of progression there. They did away with that for this particular version of the game. And, you know, I think that's a, you know, move that's probably made of budget concerns. Obviously, you know, they rebuilt the engine completely to move to the new consoles. And again, perhaps next year's game might include that. But, yeah, just the ability even as a as one of the real-life drivers to be able to continue to race in the progressive years seemed like a pretty simple oversight.
Well, that brings us to the big boy, Forza Motorsport 6. Certainly one of my favorite games of the year, not just favorite racing games or favorite sports games, just favorite games overall. It's a game I play all the time, just played it last night, as a matter of fact. Talk to me about Forza Motorsport 6, why it is so special, and why it seems to do things, why it appeals to people like me who like a good racer, but don't know a whole, you know, don't know a whole lot about cars, and someone like you who knows a whole lot about cars and a lot about racing, you know, why does it appeal to both of us so much, do you think?
Well, I think it appeals to both of us, Rich, because I think you're secretly a closeted racing fan. Yeah, we keep on putting racing games in front of you, mate, and you keep on liking them. So maybe, you know, maybe you are a racing fan deep down. I mean, Forza 6 is a pretty darn good game. I think that's the, you know, whether it's, you know, a great RPG or a great shooter or anything like that. You know, there's certain games you put them in your console and you think there's a quality to these that they've been crafted in such a way that the attention to detail is there. And I mean, we've talked before about Forza 6 with its night racing, with those incredible rain effects. Which, Rich, have you got used to driving through puddles yet? Are they still there at Nemesis?
Oh well, yeah. I mean, I see them coming, and I try to get out of the way. But you know, just like anything, the more you practice it, the more you experience it, the better you get at it.
And that's exactly right. And I think when we first dealt with the wet weather racing and the aquaplaning and the like, it was. It was horrific, but just like real racing, you get used to it. And I mean, the things that they improved on in Forza 5, the full set of tracks. I mean, there are some tracks that I'd like to see in the game that still aren't there, but the tracks that are there are brilliant and they're well created. And the Brazil track is a nice circuit, even if it isn't, you know, even if it is actually unrealistic in the sense that you couldn't actually build it with safety requirements. The roster of cars, you know, there's 450 cars in the game. If you've been silly like we were and got the season pass and paid a fortune for that, there's new cars coming in every month or so, and many of those have been excellent. There's so much to like with it. I mean, online is a different matter, and I mean, I don't know, have you dealt Have you gone back into trying to race with real people?
Every once in a while, I go into the leagues. Every once in a while, I go into the multiplayer. But no, not often. And that's not a Forza thing. That's an any race thing, frankly. Like, I just there's no racing game that I have enjoyed, at least not since the Project Gotham series. There's no racing game. Not saying that there hasn't been, right? Because I certainly haven't played all of them. But there's no racing game that I've played in the last, you know, 7-8 years that I've enjoyed racing online. I just tend to enjoy the better racing games, playing against AI, bumping up the AI, and trying to, you know, find the right way to corner and the right time to accelerate, the right time to slow down, stuff like that.
Yeah, I tend to think that, I mean, they made a big deal about Forza featuring 24 cars on track at the same time online. And to me, all that's resulted in is that there's 18 cars that have crashed into each other in the first corner rather than 7. So, yeah, the experience I've had online has been pretty ordinary, and I don't know what the solution to that is, because, you know, people will be people, and it's just very, very difficult to get a match where people aren't determined to crash into that first corner. But, you know, other than that, I mean, there is a lot to this game as well. I mean, the stories of motorsport mode is fun. Yeah, it's an amazing driving game, an amazing driving experience, and one that I you know, will be playing for some time.
You know, it's interesting. You mentioned that you have the season pass and you get the cars. I didn't buy a season pass. I didn't. I haven't spent an extra dollar in this game yet. I've got, you know, more than 2 million credits. I've purchased a whole bunch of cars. The economy of the game to me is fantastic because it's somebody who just plays the game and races and is given opportunities to get new cars every once in a while, but earn credits and tokens and all that stuff. Like, I have just, I have not for a moment been presented with a situation where I'm like, oh, this game is trying to get me to pay extra money. Unlike Forza 5, where almost every time I did anything, I felt like the game was trying to get me to pay extra money. So another reason that you know that the balance of this game is so good is here's me, who hasn't spent a dime and is thoroughly enjoying it, and here's you, who has purchased the season pass and is also enjoying it. That's another very interesting balance that it's so hard to get right. It seems like this game has gotten that almost perfect.
Yeah, a couple of weeks ago, I know there was a lot of stories about the fact that apparently they've reintroduced microtransactions into Forza 6. And I mean, I've been playing it a little bit this weekend, and I got to say, I actually haven't noticed any pop-ups or anything alerting me to that fact. So
me neither. I was playing it yesterday, and, you know, 2 or 3 days ago. Like, this is the game. Forza 6 is a game where, if I got 15 to 20 minutes, this is where I'm going to go, because I know I'll get 2 or 3 races in. I'll keep moving forward in my career. You know, like, it's perfect for that kind of situation. Or, you know what, if it's late at night, you know, I can't play a game of Madden because that's like, you know, 45 minutes or an hour. You know, it scratches that itch for me so well. But yeah, I mean, I play it regularly. I haven't noticed any of that stuff either.
Yeah, and I must say, I've just beat your time on the in the spec Madden 5 challenge.
Oh, so, boy. All right. I got to get back in there.
Absolutely. And that's one of the, I mean, I kind of wish that there was a little bit more of that sort of stuff. I mean, the thrill of beating, obviously there's a, it advises you or sets up an AI, or not an AI, a person on your friends list time to beat on each lap. And I'd almost like more of that, to be more made of that in the conventional career mode, just to give you that extra incentive to go a little bit quicker.
Yeah, the Drivatars are great. You know, there's nothing like racing against your friends, even if you're not racing against your friends. I just love that. And I agree. I want more of that. It's almost like you wish you could pick out, like, okay, well, I know I got a bunch of people on my friends list, but the ones I really want to race are, like, I want to make sure that no matter what I'm doing, I have this group of 4 or 5 people. Like, I want, you know, Chairman Seven, and I want Seward, and I want, you know, Jesse Lynch, and I want Corey Andrews. Like, these are the 4 or 5 guys that every time I want to know where I stand with them. That would be a nice little, you know, addition to have.
Absolutely.
All right, so I'm going to assume that Forza was your favorite racing game in 2015. Do I have that right?
I think it was my favorite car game. I think my favorite racing game was the F1 game.
Oh, cool.
Because I made that distinction simply because I enjoyed the racing in F1 more, but the actual full package, I think Forza is, you know, because of the roster of cars, because of the number of tracks, it's a more welcoming game. I think that Forza is a better game.
So correct me if I'm wrong, but you're more of a proper racing game guy. Is that correct? Like, you're more of a Gran Turismo Forza guy than a Ridge Racer, for example. Do I have that right?
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, I don't try to be a simulation racer by any means, but I certainly enjoy. I saw the phrase used the other day, "Simcade," which kind of refers to those GTs and Forza games. So, I have dabbled in the past. I mean, Burnout is obviously one of my favorite racing games of all time, but certainly far more of a simulation fan than the real arcadey stuff.
So, I'm curious why you did not give Need for Speed a try.
So, and I'm interested to hear your thoughts about whether I should, because my big gripe with Need for Speed and was the fact that I've seen a number of videos, a number of views, the idea of rubber banding AI, and that's one of the things that I can't stand in a racing game. So, I mean, if we had a situation where it was in another sports game like a Madden or an NHL or an NBA, and we knew that regardless of how well we did in the third quarter, the AI would throw every touchdown, all the touchdown passes, and we wouldn't be able to complete a pass, and we'd be fumbling, or we wouldn't be able to make a basket or anything like that. We wouldn't put up with it. So why would we put up with a situation in a racing game where I can build a entirely reasonable lead based on my performance, and then for the AI cars to be able to catch up through superhuman braking and superhuman acceleration?
It's almost not the point, if that makes sense, right? The point of Need for Speed is not for, okay, well, if you hit, you know, three or four excellent corners, you know, you're going to leave your competitors in the dust. The point of Need for Speed is really more about, let me just have a really fun time messing around with these crazy cars, changing the handling, turning it into a drift machine for this race, turning it into a grip machine for this race. You know, racing in these, you know, to me, crazy races where, you know, you have to stay within the pack and you have to drift, you know, but if you get too far behind or too far ahead, you're not going to get points. You got these, you know, Gymkhanas. You got, yeah, sure, there's some races where it's just like, okay, whoever finishes first going from point A to point B. But it Need for Speed is the opposite of a, you know, Forza or a Gran Turismo, where it has this story that is ridiculous, and it knows that it's ridiculous. So it's just like, okay, this is, you know, tongue planted firmly in cheek for this story mode with these, you know, kids and their car culture stuff. Then you've got, you know, these, you know, wildly expensive cars that you can completely just, you know, turn a Ferrari F40 into something that drifts, you know, with the tap of your, you know, e-brake, or something that grips, you know, like Super Glue. You know, you can completely just turn cars, not only, you know, drift to grip, but also, you know, you can, you know, very Forza-ish, where you can just, you know, completely performance, you know, add every single kind of performance from, you know, inside the engine and the transmission and the brakes and the tires and this. So you can completely transform a car. You know, you can increase its horsepower by 50% to 100% and all that kind of stuff. Like, the racing, it's not accurate for me to say it, but it's almost like the racing is inconsequential, right? The racing is certainly a way to have fun, but it's not the point. I think the rubber banding is almost to, again, like everything else, just to keep things interesting, because you can crash during a race and still win, and you can race a perfect race and you still might lose, you know. But either way, you're pretty much, at least from my perspective, you're going to be having a good time the whole time. Does any of that make sense?
Yeah, I think it does. Actually, that last quote there about you can crash and still win, and you can race well but still lose, sounds like something a quote out of the new Fast and Furious movie. I can just imagine Vin Diesel mumbling that in as part of the dialogue. But
you can crash and still win. You can race perfect and still lose. I live my life a quarter mile at a time.
It's all about family and barbecue. Yeah, and I mean the other thing that a lot of people had a knock on was the full motion video and everything like that, and that certainly didn't deter me from playing the game. I mean, I went out and bought Guitar Hero Live, which wasn't a great decision, but the you know, I have no problems with crazy FMV in my life. So that was actually a plus side. It was, I mean, I played Need for Speed Rivals last year.
Yeah, I did not like that game at all.
And I didn't like it. So I was a little bit put off, of course, by the direction that Need for Speed's gone in terms of that as well. I mean, I may very well pick up Need for Speed at some stage if I see it for cheap, or I'm not a member of EA Access yet. But that
yeah, well,
is...
see, that's what did it for me. I had zero because I was completely turned off by Need for Speed Rivals. I was completely in love with and still am in love with Forza. Like, I don't need another racing game. Like, I got all the racing I need. But I've got EA Access, and I tried it out, and 10 hours in, I'm like, oh, man, I'm going to keep going. This is fun. It's dumb. It's silly. It's ridiculous, but it's fun, and that's the key. It's a different kind of fun, but it's fun. And by the way, it does get challenging. I'm now at like the 20, 22, 23-hour mark, and I have had to, you know, sometimes it takes me 10 or 11 times to get through a race. Like, now the races have gotten really, really challenging, and I might have ultimately hit a wall. So we'll see where that goes. But I mean, we're talking, there's not a whole lot of games that I'll play 20 plus hours, and I've played 20 plus hours in Need for Speed. And while the last hour or two have been kind of frustrating, the first 19 to 20, again, just having fun.
Yeah, that's great. I think that's in my watch list. The other one that I haven't been able to play yet is a smaller title, which is the World Rally Championship game, which is a bit of a. I'm waiting for it to appear at a bargain basement price because the reviews are quite middling. But I enjoy my rally games, and that sort of franchise has produced some really good games in the past, and. I think that might be one I might be picking up at some stage.
You know, reviews, I don't pay attention to reviews of almost anything anymore, but in particular racing games, you know, because racing, at least when it comes to me, I find myself having so many differing opinions. I mean, you and I couldn't have disagreed more on a game like Ride 2, on Grid 2, for example, right? I mean, I enjoyed it, you hated it. You know, we like certain games in common. We dislike certain games in common. To me, a lot of these racing games now, it really comes down to, I don't care about reviews. I got to either try it out or not try it out. But I can't.
It comes down to feel. And you know, both of us are in agreement about the Project Cars. If someone came to me and said, I really like Project Cars, I'd say, awesome. I wish I did. Because, you know, it really is about how do the wheels on the tarmac translate to the feeling in the controller.
All right, so that's 2015. I don't want to let you get out of here before we talk about 2016. How are you feeling about next year, and what do you think is going to what's going to tickle your fancy on the virtual racetrack next year?
So as good as 2015 has been or was, I think 2016 could be even better. I mean, we've got there were reports that Dirt, which is currently available on PC, has been classified to come to PS4 and Xbox One. So we'll get some rally action there. And the Dirt series, of course, has been excellent. And
I was going to say, that has a long history of really good games, right?
Yeah, and the PC version of the most recent Dirt is really stripped back. It's gone away from all the Gymkhana stuff. It's back to pure rally. And so that could be absolutely fantastic. The hardcore PC simulation Assetto Corsa, which I've probably butchered the pronunciation of, is also coming to consoles. So, you know, I mean, that's going to be in that Project Cars space of something that's trying to be a little bit more hardcore than Forza. You know, hopefully they'll be able to work out a way to be able to transition those PC controls to a controller. But that's a really exciting title. And I mean, we know that Forza Horizon 3 is going to come out.
Do we know that? Are we sure?
Does Microsoft like money? I think they like money.
Did it sell well? Was it a success for them sales wise?
Probably not. But if you're not making games, you can't sell games. So here's my pitch, Rich. If the guys from Playground Gaming are listening to this, here's my pitch. Okay, so they've done America. They've done Europe, Forza Horizon 3 in Japan, and include bikes.
I'm sold.
Hill climbs, have snow, you could have the Tokyo freeway system, Forza Horizon 3 in Japan with motorbikes as well. bam, that's 2016 game of the year. Done.
Hey, Forza Horizon 2 was my game of the year for 2014, so I'm all in on that, no doubt. Well, all right, Dr. Ken Parker, thank you so much. Appreciate your insight all year on Hit the Pass with racing and with rugby and, you know, just with some of the other stuff that you bring to the site. Thank you so much. Really appreciate it and look forward to a lot more of that next year.
All right, Rich, good to talk to you.
Well, thanks everybody for listening to this episode of the Press Row Podcast. We'd like to invite you to go check out hitthepass.com, a website all about the sports games of today, yesterday, and tomorrow. We've got video, we've got audio, we've got written pieces, all about the sports games that we love. On behalf of everybody from Hit the Pass and the Press Row Podcast, thanks.